Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
What I think Donald Trump is doing is really destructive. And I guess an inside joke that we've had here with the Kaya 959 team is that perhaps Donald Trump is a destruction boy. Well, many other people have called him all sorts of names. Today was even dubbed Orange Monday. And this is largely on the back of the tariff announcement that he made last week. As we know, South Africa has an additional 30% of tariffs that's been imposed on it. Various other African states, including Lesotho, Libya, Namibia, and many others across the continent and the world, have had tariffs increase anything between 10 to 60%. Just today, he's come forward to say China, if they continue with their retaliatory move, he'll slap on yet another 50% onto that nation regarding tariffs. This all matters because it takes us back to our conversation regarding trade. Global trade. And Africa and South Africa as an economy has actually benefited greatly from policies that have aided and supported ongoing trade between the United States and South Africa and the rest of the continent. Largely speaking, the AGOA Act, Africa Growth and Opportunity Act. Since last year, this has really been hot on our minds in terms of the impact and the influence of the Trump presidency and what it could mean for this trade agreement we have on board. Following the Trump tariffs announcements that we saw last week, does this mean that AGOA is dead in the water? Time will tell, but someone who's going to share their perspective on this for us is Merrill Pick, Head of Equities Research at Old Mutual Investment Group. Merrill, it is such a pleasure to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners. What an exciting day.
Oh, tell me about it. Exciting day. I can imagine what it's meant for you and your team. Maybe let's just start there. Since last week, Wednesday, I can imagine that there's been a lot of huddling in analysis on various outcomes, but also alleviating some of the anxiety that your clients must feel.
Absolutely. I think the important thing is to get the message through to clients to stay invested. Yes. Trying to time the market is really not wise when you zoom out over a long-term perspective of 5, 10, 15 years. It's important to ride out the storms and stay invested in the market. But we certainly see opportunities to rotate within the portfolio into great quality businesses that have become 15-20% cheaper as a result of the turmoil.
Exactly. I'm glad you mentioned it. Stay invested. It reminds me of that phrase of trying to catch a falling knife. You just might end up being hurt and cut if you try to call those dips. And this again, as you say, speaks to staying invested, but it comes with a lot of confusion, uncertainty and volatility as we've witnessed. And this does take us back to the conversation regarding trade, tariffs, and most importantly, agreements that we have in place like AGOA. On the back of last week's announcement regarding South Africa and the additional tariffs, what does this mean for AGOA?
Yes, I almost feel like AGOA is quickly becoming a very small part of the story in the global context of the tariffs, of which clearly South Africa is not going to be exempt. If we zoom out and look at the role that AGOA has played for South Africa and Africa, as we speak, South Africa is the largest contributor by value under AGOA on the continent. Almost half of AGOA covered exports to the US come from South Africa, so it is significant. It is significant to particular sectors, which your previous guest mentioned, like the automotive industry, like the citrus industry. However, when you look at how our trading relationships have changed since AGOA came into effect, in Bill Clinton's presidency, up to 2009, the US was South Africa's largest trading partner. But since then, it has actually changed. China has overtaken the US by far, and we now trade more than double the value with China compared to the US. So the US's role as a trading partner has faded somewhat in significance. So I suppose that is the silver lining, that what AGOA would have meant 15 years ago, a withdrawal or an exclusion from that versus today, the impact is less severe. Research report by the Brookings Institute and another one by Investec Research estimates that today the impact if AGOA were to be withdrawn would be less than 0.1% of South Africa's GDP. Yes, because at this point in time, it only covers 10% of our exports to the US. So as I said, this bigger, more broad, you know, broad strokes and general tariff towards every single country out there, that is a bigger problem than a withdrawal. And this is something that has been brewing even under the Biden administration. It's not new. Yeah. It's not a result of Trump. You know, it was on and off, or in and out of the headlines throughout even 2024. And, you know, certain senators were calling for a review of South Africa's involvement with the AGOA even before the elections because of some of the ties to Russia and Iran. So I think it is more than just Trump. And actually the number of countries as a whole on the continent mm-hmm. that were covered by AGOA peaked in 2014, and it has been falling and accelerating. That fall has been accelerating since 2020. Now only 32 countries are covered, and it peaked at 41. So we are not alone in this. Countries that have been excluded include even big economies like Ethiopia, you know, Uganda. So South Africa is not alone. Yeah, I think it's part of a bigger theme of America first.
This is so refreshing to hear, Meryl, because I think it helps put things into perspective, right? As you say, all would not be lost, but also it puts things into perspective when we take a look at the general overall decline, and that this isn't a new theme that is being introduced by Trump and his administration. I guess what many of us would then sit back and wonder is, what would it mean for, I guess, the DTIC as they head over to DC to engage in trade conversations, but also how that might translate into the global equities front? So I'm trying to straddle two themes here that I'm hoping you can cuddle, expand for us.
Look, clearly the US is a big trading partner. It's a big economic power. We should not be blasé about our relationship with the US as a country, as a trading partner. I think it would be very bad for sentiment. You might see a negative reaction in the bond yields, for example, if we were to be excluded from AGOA. It sends a bad message that the US doesn't, you know, approve of our policies. It does send a bad message. And one should hope that the relationship can be repaired. I think what is happening with tariffs is going to affect, first of all, global growth in general, which is negative for South Africa. It is going to affect inflation in general, which, again, negative for South Africa. There are some trade-offs. We've seen the oil price, for example, retrace as recessionary fears are playing out in the market. And we know South African consumers have been suffering with high fuel prices. So seeing the oil price retrace a bit can potentially give a reprieve in one area. As the tariffs from manufactured goods out of China and other parts of the world, textiles, for example, if US demand for those imported textiles are going to fall as a result of the tariffs, those goods need to find a new home, you know. So it could end up with interesting pricing dynamics for South African imports, where there's an oversupply in certain sectors because US demand starts to fall. So I think we have yet to see the second round effects of this. But what we do know is that typically history tells us tariffs are bad for global growth. I think when it comes to equities, we have to look at starting valuations. If you look at a 20-year history of the ALSI, the All Share Index versus the S&P 500, typically over a long 20-year period, the average has been a 30% discount. So South African stocks have been 30% cheaper on average than US stocks.
Okay.
At this point in time, we are 63% cheaper than the US market.
Yeah,
and we're, along with many other emerging markets, for 20 years, there has been one-way traffic flow into investment flows into the US. strong economy, a Federal Reserve and a Treasury that's willing to do anything to defend the economy, zero interest rates, issuing trillions in debt. And emerging markets do not have those levers at their disposal. But it does seem like Trump is trying to draw a line in the sand in terms of how much more debt, trying to cut costs under Elon Musk's initiative, and raising tariffs as a substitute for raising taxes. He is trying to balance this US budget. He is trying to say, we cannot just keep bailing the economy out with debt. Whether his plans work out or not, he does seem to have, the intention seems to be to stop this debt-fueled growth. So what you might see in the long term is balancing the scales between emerging markets and the U.S. It's by no means going to be an easy path, because he's taking what seems to be an austerity path that he's willing to walk for 4 to 5 years until he has balanced the books, you know, of America. At the moment, they're spending more on interest payments than they are on defense.
Meryl, you mentioned such a valid...
Because interest rates have gone up.
Precisely. And I'm glad that you remind us of that point, right? Because it really is an avenue for them just to increase revenue that they need for the U.S. economy. On the influence that this does have on the stock market, and I'm leveraging off of the role you serve as head of research for equities, is what this means then, I guess, when it comes to investors like yourselves and diversification strategies. For the longest time, the U.S. stock market was where we wanted to be, especially when it came to the NASDAQ, the Magnificent Seven stocks. Those have also been feeling the greatest pinch on the back of these tariff announcements. So when it comes to asset allocation or allocation in terms of offshore equities, what could this rejig shift look like, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, the All Country World Index is made up 66% of U.S. stocks. That has not always been the case. And it has been largely driven, fueled by this Mag 7 trend, which got another boost out of, you know, the AI headlines of the last 18 months or so. Because before that, tech stocks, the growth was starting to slow. They were starting to face scrutiny. Are these monopolies? Should we break these companies up? You know, are they playing a role in geopolitics? All of that scrutiny you forgot about with the artificial intelligence headlines that, you know, got everybody excited again. And so we have been cautious on the U.S. for 2 years now, probably a bit early on that call, but it is now starting to play out because of a few things. Number one, saying this trade is a very thin trade that has been hinged on these seven stocks. The government debt to GDP was reaching, in our view, unsustainable levels, which we thought they would start to feel the pinch once interest rates have gone up, and that is starting to play out, which ultimately means the currency should come under pressure relative to other markets, almost every other market. So just the dollar unwinding, as the strength unwinding alone, could support emerging stock markets, market stock markets, of which South Africa is one. Over the past 12 months, in dollars, the JSE is actually up 10%, whereas the S&P 500 is down 1%. I don't know if many people, you know, realize that this trade has actually been grinding away for some time. A lot of that has happened in the last 3 months. So we look to move away from U.S. equities. We think South African bonds offer great risk-adjusted returns. And South African, even the JSE, the starting valuations, especially after the last 7 days, offer actually some of our best companies are now starting to trade at discounts that we haven't seen for some time. You can get First Rand Bank below 2x book for the first time in several years. ShopRite has come back to a price earnings multiple of 20x. And then we have access, you know, the US has its AI trend.
Yes.
South African investors can get access to a Chinese AI trend through Naspersen Process, which owns Tencent. I don't know if many people are aware that cumulatively since 2012, China has granted more than double the number of AI patents than the US. But US tech stocks trade, you know, at a huge premium to Chinese tech stocks. So you can get Chinese tech stock like Tencent for a 30% discount to US tech. Same themes, at a much more reasonable multiple.
Got you. Meryl, we could talk to you all day and definitely follow through with the investment insights that you've given us. But thank you for the education. Firstly, on understanding the worst case scenario, should a AGOA not be renewed as a trade agreement? As you've mentioned, not anything new. There has been a significant decline in the countries that have benefited from that deal. But also, South Africa does have a diversified strategy in terms of maintaining trade there. And of course, I guess this reshift or shifting and rejigging of tariffs, global economic performance will come with a lot of pain, but might give us an opportunity just to recalibrate the discounts that emerging markets versus developed economies have been trading on when it comes to the equity space. So opportunity nonetheless, but as you say, we invest for the long term. No need to catch a falling knife, right?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Meryl. All the best. Have a good week, if you can. I know there's a lot for you and your team to navigate, but boy, oh boy, do we respect your efforts. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Meryl Pick is Head of Equities Research at Old Mutual. Meryl Pick is Head of Equities Research at Old Mutual Investment Group.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.